Concode 23 Radio.
Concode 23 Radio.
Noi c'eravamo. I nostri speciali.
Welcome everyone to the Regeneration House, the home of the IAB Forum. My name is Yesu Kim, and I'm one of the MCs for this very important event on marketing and digital innovation that awaits you on the 8th and 9th of November here in Milan. Regeneration House is a space where we invite all our super keynote speakers from the conference to speak about the major trends in the digital world and how people and businesses must regenerate to face the future resiliently, ethically, and beautifully. Today's guest at the Regeneration House is the one and only Ada Paris, who promises at the IAB Forum a multi-sensory journey of regeneration. Welcome, Ada.
Hi, Yesul. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm so excited to be joining you all in Milan very soon.
Okay, so of course, the first question that we ask every guest is, how do you define regeneration? I mean, is there an object, a person, or a place that comes to mind that really embodies this concept?
So, regeneration, when I think of this regeneration, for me, it's not a linear process, and I think it's important to say that. For me, it's really about understanding how we renew our systems and structures by also recognizing that we are part of those systems and structures. So whatever we are creating is creating us, and that is a form of regeneration. And then for me, I add the extra element of technology within that. So how does technology impact or be impacted by this sense of renewing and regeneration and recreating?
Well, you've used these beautiful words, and some of that I think describes you and how you've described yourself. I mean, just on LinkedIn, you described yourself as a polymath, an anti-disciplinary artist, a tech futurist, and an activist. So break it down for us and the audience on what those words mean to you and why they describe who you are.
It's really interesting because I have those titles, but I think that sometimes we get stuck on what things are called rather than focusing on what lies beneath. So the titles I use, they're very interchangeable, and deliberately so, because it depends on the audience, it depends on what's the narrative and where we're trying to get to. What underpins all of that now is, I would say it's Alain de Botton, the philosopher Alain de Botton's description of an artist. Art is about changing the way we experience the world. And that's what I do. So I'm very good at asking questions that help people to create a moment's pause, to stop and reflect. And success for me when I do anything, whether it's a tour or any of these things, is about helping people to ask themselves more questions. Because that for me means that they have, there's a curiosity. So futurist, I don't have a crystal ball, but what I do is I look at the idea of where have we come from, where are we now, and where are we going? It's not about trying to predict the future trends for me. It's more about recognizing that everything happens in cycles. Everything is a process of regeneration. It's just we don't necessarily recognize the time frame. So whatever I do is about acknowledging those that came before us, indigenous cultures, ancient histories, you know, different civilizations, the way that nature operates in these things. Where can I see those patterns now? And how can I help us to try and recognize where those patterns may occur in the future? Part of that is being a storyteller. The idea that whenever I start a new project, I always go back to the same quote because it helps to keep me grounded. And that is, the purpose of a storyteller is not to tell you how to think, but to give you questions to think upon. I think that we are all problem solvers. We all have the potential for innovation. We all have these different, we could take all these different labels and titles. For me, it's really about, and increasingly so, especially because I feel that the question that I'm asking in everything that I do is, what type of ancestor do you want to be? And I think that that's important because it is the only question we should be asking right now, because that lies at the foundation, that lies at the very root of what we are trying to achieve. And that the first value that we should be having is about regeneration, because market share doesn't matter if there is no planet.
I really love that. And it's something I always ask to be provocative of, like, is it better to ask a good question or to have the best answer?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, because we've got to remember that we as humans, we have been very mindful in categorizing things and putting things in boxes, putting things in labels to help us understand. But I also believe that as humans, we are not supposed to understand everything, and we have to leave space for chaos, because with chaos, there also is beauty and there is also transformation. And so it's important to be able to recognize that our personal lived experiences will also give our perception of value and our perception of impact. There is no homogenous way of being. And so by asking very good questions, we get a diversity of responses, a diversity of lived experiences. And those are what we use to try and come together to be innovative, to create new ways of being, new languages, new frameworks.
And I think the marketing and digital industries, which many of our audience members are coming from, have that great responsibility to do so. And yet, I don't think regeneration is something that is necessarily top of mind. How do we reconcile the two?
Well, I think that, and you're right, I agree with you. I think that probably regeneration hasn't been front of mind because people tend to only think about it in terms of nature, not in terms of the long-term impact of the things that we are doing or not, the choices that we make or not. If we recognize that everything is connected, including ourselves, our lived experiences, then we have a responsibility to understand regeneration. Because what we're putting out into the world, whether it's an advertising campaign or we are, you know, working with clients who are producing new technology, emerging technologies, there is a long tail impact of what we're doing. And so we have a responsibility to ourselves and to humanity and to the rest of the planet to understand the who, what, where, when, and how. We can't negate our responsibilities. That's why we've ended up in this current economic climate crisis. And if we continue down this path of ignoring our relationship with regeneration, that's what scares me. More than anything, that's what scares me. The fact that many have chosen to say that it's somebody else's responsibility. It's not my problem. It's not my responsibility. My products and services don't do that. We are at crisis. If you listen to many of the climate people who work in climate crisis, they would say that we've already passed certain tipping points. What we need to do is recognize that we are in a space of resilience and regeneration. How can we ensure that there is survival of all species, not just us? Those are the things that I'm really passionate about. And so that's why the labels, the titles that I have are interchangeable, because I have to meet people where they're at and help them understand how to move forward. And sometimes that change is painful, it's difficult, but it's absolutely necessary. And in terms of regeneration, we have to recognize that sometimes the changes that need to be made will not happen in our lifetime, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing them.
Well, and some would say also maybe provocative, and one of the philosophies and frameworks that you have is around cyber shamanism. And so tell me how you came up with this philosophy and what it means.
Oh, it's such a very embodied, beautiful journey, and complex, because it started by, I was starting to recognize lots of patterns in different spaces. And what this is going back probably 8 or 9 years. And I saw the emergence of this kind of shamanic tourism, people talking more about plant medicines and spirituality and new emerging technologies and this idea of Web3. And what it felt like, it was that societies were looking for a new religion. something to put their faith in, their belief in, whilst at the same time negating responsibilities by saying, well, we're going to get to the technological singularity and AI is going to take over and all of these things. And, you know, going down the shamanic route, the plant medicine and all of this. And I was started to look at the patterns and I started mind mapping. And I have a mind map that's probably about 9 or 10 years old of words and ideas that I started to recognize. And I realized something quite fundamental that was, we're actually trying to do the same thing. So we use various tools, depending on which way you come in, you land in that. We're using various tools to do three things. Help us to understand and navigate our relationship with ourselves, with others, and with our environment. So on the digital emerging technologies, you could use a mobile phone, AI, what have you. In the world of spirituality and shamanism, plant medicine, sound meditation to connect with self, other, and environment. I was brought up Catholic and taught to believe in God who you cannot see, that helps you understand your relationship with self, other, and environment. So I realized that we're all trying to do the same thing, but we're using different tools, and those different tools are technologies. And so had this eureka moment of, well, if we define a cyborg as using technology to augment the biological, then, and we're talking about cyborgs and shaman use a form of technology to augment the biological. The cyborgs are digital shaman, and the shaman are ecological cyborgs. And I realized that initially I thought that there was a linear relationship, so it's one or the other. The more I have explored, the more I have realized that actually it is holistic. It is you can bring quantum mechanics into it, all of these things. And so really cyborg shamanism is a deliberate provocation to help us really think about what is our relationship with technology? What is our ownership, our sense of power, sense of responsibility? What are the questions that we should be asking? And what are the lessons that we can learn from nature, from shamanism, from spirituality? Where are those patterns happening that we can use in the development of emerging technologies and the way that we operate?
I really appreciate the framework you created, and I would also add maybe it's also different languages that people use, maybe, but in the end, the core is really the same. So last question for you. I know you're still tinkering, and I would argue we're very excited to have you because you're not coming to Milan to have a speech. You're here to create an experience and have people question. And for now, you know, you said you wanted to bring in a harmonious blend of the organic and digital elements that unravels the intricate dance between nature's regenerative forces and the innovative possibilities offered by Web3. So without doing a full reveal, give us a quick tidbit on what the audience can expect.
Yeah, so if we take what I just described about cyborg shamanism, once you see it, you can't unsee it, and you start to recognize the patterns everywhere. And so I'm really excited about the fact that I've recently been able to recognize a lot more patterns in nature. And one of them is about this idea of digital symbiosis. So there are three forms of symbiosis, and symbiosis is really about the interrelationship, how everything is connected and the impact that they have on each other. And there are three ways that happens. So one is mutual. So the relationship between us and other is a mutually beneficial, and we come together to create a wonderful regenerative system. The other is that it helps us to mitigate some of the bad behavior that is being created. So there's a slight lag between nature and technology. And the other is parasitic. And it is that we are developing technologies and relationships that is cannibalizing our relationship with nature and ultimately destructive. And it's quite a big idea. And I really believe that we have to remember that we learn by osmosis. We learn by doing, by experiencing. Not everything can be intellectualized in a way. And so I really want to create an experience that helps people to feel and a very somatic, very visceral relationship with what is happening. So the idea, the current idea, is that I am creating a piece of sound art. So it's a story in three parts, and that people will be able to hear the relationships that I'm trying to get you to talk about or to understand. And the ultimate part of that will be then you ask yourself, okay, now that I have felt this on a very visceral level, what am I going to do differently? What are the questions I need to ask myself? What are the questions I need to ask my clients? What are, going back to that big question that I said, is what type of ancestor do you want to be? Now you know this and you can hear and viscerally feel what it could be, which of the three pathways are you going to take?
Grazie mille for your time. I think already you're dropping some truth bombs and already provoking folks to really think a little bit deeper. And that's just a little piece of what's to come, I think, at the IAB Forum. So thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you day 2, November 9th in Milan, and see you soon.
I can't wait to join you in person. Thank you.